morning and the comfort of the Lord through the ministry of music. Let's all do a little exercise, if you would. Just a few moments ago, the Ottawa police responded to a 911 hang-up call from somewhere around here. So would you just do a quick check of your phone, make sure you're not accidentally dialing 911 for me? I would appreciate that, and make sure it's on silent while you're at it, and then you can put that phone away and forget about it for the next little while here. Once you have checked your phone, please turn your Bible to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. And if you were here last Sunday morning, you know that last week we zeroed in on Paul's mode of life, which is expressed in three words in verse number 12 of Philippians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul said, "I follow after." I follow after. And of course, he was talking about following the Lord Jesus Christ. And last Sunday, we talked about how the Christian life is like following somebody in a car through big city traffic. That was the metaphor, the illustration that we used last week. Just like the driver of that car in front of you, the Lord Jesus is our leader in this life. He knows where He is going. He knows where He is taking us. He knows the best way to get there. He knows the best pace for the journey. And our part is simply to keep up with Him and follow Him wherever He leads us. And I don't know about you this morning, but I'm glad when I think about this truth, I'm glad to know that I have a leader in this world. Believer, it is a good thing to be a follower of the leader, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, when you're the leader, then it's all up to you, right? I mean, if you're the leader, then you've got to have all the answers. You've got to have everything figured out. You need to know where you're going. You need to be able to weave your way through all of the competing distractions. But folks, we have a leader who knows best. And our job is to follow Him. And yes, it won't be easy because there are lots of distractions that will compete for our attention. There are lots of obstacles that will threaten to separate us from our leader, but we should focus our concentration on following hard and close after Christ. Now, this morning, we're going to switch metaphors from driving to a different kind of journey. This is the kind of journey that the Apostle Paul himself had in mind when he wrote the words that we're about to read in our text this morning. It's the journey of an athlete running in a foot race to win a prize. It's the same metaphor that we find in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 was our theme passage for the year of 2020. Our theme was running the race with patience that has been set before us. And so in Hebrews 12, we learn that as believers, we are runners in a race. And here in Philippians 3, again, in this testimony section of Paul, we learn that we are runners in a race. Folks, there are two major passages we have in the New Testament here about how the Christian life, comparing the Christian life to running in a race. And there are several reasons why running a race is such a good illustration or a metaphor for the Christian life. First of all, because if you're going to run in a race, you have to be on the right track, headed in the right direction. I mean, if you're running off on some other track, if you go off course, you're not in the race anymore. So you have to be on the right track, headed in the right direction, but then we must also focus on the right goal. I mean, if you're trying to win, if you want to be the first one across that finish line, you have to be setting your sights on that finish line. You have to be pacing yourself. You have to be working toward the goal, the right goal. But most important, we must put in our very best effort in the present. See, you run a race step by step by step, putting everything you have into the here and now to win that future prize, to be the first one to cross the finish line. And in the same way, you live the Christian life step by step by step, putting everything you have into the here and now to win the future prize. And so if you want to win the race of the Christian life, as we're going to learn today in these next couple of Sundays here in Philippians chapter 3, you must press on in the present. The race of the Christian life is about what is happening in the present. You must press in the present. Let's take a look at our passage, Philippians here, chapter number 3, and we're going to read verses 13 and 14. This will be our focus for this Sunday and next Sunday. The Apostle Paul said in verse number 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So we're going to spend 2 weeks on those two verses, as I said a moment ago. Today, I want to show you two truths from this part of Philippians chapter number 3. First of all, we're going to talk about a particular focus. I want you to see the particular focus of the Apostle Paul in this passage. Because in these two verses, we read about what Paul did not do and what he did do. So first of all, if I may, I'd like to share with you what Paul did not do. And you see that in verse number 13, where he said that he did not count himself to have apprehended. The word apprehend is a word that we talked about last week. We studied that word in verse 12 last Sunday. If you remember, it means to seize something in a mighty grip, to seize, to grab hold, to take hold of something. That's what it means to apprehend. And from verse 12, we learn that the Lord Jesus Christ has apprehended us so that we might apprehend. We have been saved to seize something. When we got saved, Christ seized us for a mighty work in our lives so that now we may in turn reach out and seize all that Christ has in mind for us, both in this life and in the life to come, including, as we learned back in verse number 10, that personal, intimate knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and the life-changing power of His resurrection, the close bond, a fellowship that comes with our Savior through sufferings, and even the life of the Lord Jesus being revealed in us as we are conformed to His death. Christ has made these blessings available to us right now as believers, and He encourages us to reach out and to seize them every single day. But in verse number 13... Paul again made it clear, just as he did in verse number 12, he again repeated the truth with great clarity that he was not yet a finished product in Jesus Christ. He had seized some of the blessings, but not all of them by a long shot. Even though he had been saved for about 30 years when he wrote these words, and God had transformed Paul from Saul of Tarsus, persecutor of the church, into the Apostle Paul, an apostle of the church, a leader of the church for the glory of God, the Apostle Paul yet did not have all of Christ, and he knew it. And you know, I think it's really a blessing to be reminded that not even the great Apostle Paul had apprehended or seized all of Jesus Christ. And why is that a blessing? Because if Paul couldn't say it, then we shouldn't expect to be able to say it either, and therefore we shouldn't be discouraged when we can't say it. You know, perfectionism can be a serious idol in the human heart. What am I talking about? When I talk about perfectionism, I'm talking about the need of the flesh to appear flawless, either to other people or to ourselves. And some people are especially prone to spend a lot of time meditating on their own imperfections. Perfectionism in the human heart is really a manifestation of the pride of life. It is a pride issue, believe it or not, to constantly be thinking about our imperfections. We all have lots of imperfections, folks. The fact of the matter is that no matter who we are or how far we have come, we all still have a long ways to go in the race. And so we want to be sure to avoid two dangerous ditches that are on either side of the racetrack of the Christian life that God has laid out for us. There is a ditch of danger on the one side, which would be the ditch of discouragement, tempting us to give up in our race when we are very keenly aware of our imperfections. So we don't want to go down in that ditch of discouragement. But on the other hand, there is also a ditch of self-deception, and it is also dangerous. It's the opposite danger, okay? The ditch of self-deception is telling ourselves that we have arrived in some way when we have not. Now, the only right healthy attitude is exactly what Paul said here in this passage, folks, and I want you to grab hold of this, okay? The right healthy attitude is to say like Paul, "Brethren, let me tell you something. I count not myself to have apprehended. I have not yet arrived," and then to allow that truth to motivate us to press on in the race. So what Paul did not do is he did not get discouraged or give up, or stop running, or throw in the towel. He didn't fall into the ditch of discouragement. On the other hand, he did not think that he had arrived spiritually, or that he had reached perfection, or that he was superior to other believers, or that he had crossed the finish line. He stayed out of the ditch of self-deception as well. You've heard the fable of the tortoise and the hare, right? And of course, in that fable, the hare and the tortoise are going to run a race, and the hare is very self-confident. And so they start the race, and of course he jumps out to a big lead. He knows he's faster than the tortoise, and so somewhere down the way in the racetrack, he decides he's going to take a little break by the side of the road, maybe get a little nap, and he's thinking to himself, he has all the time in the world, because after all, the tortoise is slow, is never going to catch up with him. And so while he's lying there by the side of the road, enjoying the bright day or the shade of the cool breeze or whatever it was, the tortoise, slow and steady, wins the race and passes the hare by and wins, and by the time the hare realizes what is going on, it's too late. So what was the problem of the hare? The problem of the hare was that he thought that he had already apprehended when the race wasn't over. And so he's chilling out by the side of the road in self-confidence. And unlike the hare, the Apostle Paul was not bragging about his previous accomplishments and how good he was and how fast he was. He wasn't coasting down the racetrack. He wasn't taking it easy. He wasn't resting in the shade when he should have been running. Knowing how far he had to go, he was doing the only sensible thing, and he was running for all that he was worth. And that's what we should do as well. And so that brings me to what Paul did do. What he did not do is he did not count himself to have apprehended. He did not think the race was already over when he was still a runner, engaged in winning and striving toward the goal and the prize. But what he did do, he says, verse number 13, he says, "But this one thing I do," in fact, that's even more crisp, it's even more to the point without those understood words. You see those words in italics there in your Bible. Those are understood words. Literally, Paul said, "But one thing." There was one thing Paul desired. There was one thing that Paul cared about, and that was back in verse number 8. We learned this last week, so I hope you remember. What Paul cared about was winning all of Jesus Christ. That was his motto of life. And then in verse number 12, we learned his mode of life. That his desire to win Christ led him to pursue Jesus Christ. That was the mode of life that he lived. He was always pursuing Jesus Christ. But here in verse 13 and verse 14, we see that his mode of life led to a manner of life. His mode was revealed in the way that he pursued Jesus Christ every single day. And that manner of his life and his pursuit of Christ had three aspects that tell us how every believer should relate properly to the past, the present, and the future. Okay, so today we're looking at the manner of Paul's life. This was the way that he was running his race. This was how that desire to win Christ and that way of living, of pursuing Jesus Christ, this is how it showed out in his life every single day. And we see that Paul here was relating to the past, the present, and the future, and we're supposed to follow his example. So I want you to take a look at the structure of this passage with me so that we can understand it together, okay? So would you look back at your Bible and look at verse 13, and you see there, Paul says, "This one thing I do." Now, what is the one thing? Okay, if you want to know that, you have to go down to verse number 14. The one thing is in verse number 14. Paul says, "I press." That is the primary action word in these verses. And it is a present tense verb. That means that it describes an ongoing type of action, a continuing type of action, or a way of life. Paul said, I am pressing. As a matter of fact, the word press in verse number 14 is the same word that was translated in verse 12, follow after. Okay, so Paul said in verse 12, I follow after. Again, the same word here, I am pressing. It means to press toward a goal. And folks, that is the Christian life in a nutshell. In a very brief description, the Christian life is to say, I am pressing toward a goal. Our present life in Jesus Christ is all about pressing on and pressing hard in the race. And next week, we're going to talk more about our present pressing. Okay, so that's going to be a message all of its own. But back in verse number 13, so if you look back to verse number 13, you see two other activities that should be taking place at the same time we are pressing. And they are forgetting and reaching. Do you see those two action words in verse number 13? Forgetting and reaching. Those are also action words, but grammatically they are tied to the word press. So if you want the grammatical term, they are participles. They're not regular verbs. In other words, their job is to describe how we press. How do we press? Okay, we press while we are pressing on. We should also be forgetting and reaching. And that tells us what our attitude toward the past and the future should be. So you see there, the past, the present, and the future, and the believer's proper relationship to all three. Now, for the rest of today, I want to talk about our proper relationship to the past. Because there's some things we really need to think about here. What does Paul say the believer should be doing in relation to the past? Look at verse 13 again. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. The proper relationship of the believer with the past is to forget it. To forget it. So that is our second point for today. We talked about the particular focus. Paul says, this one thing I do, I am pressing after Jesus Christ. But now let's talk about a past forgotten. A past forgotten. You know what the Greek word translated forget in verse number 13 means? It means to forget. Ha ha. Okay? No rocket science here, folks. No deep meaning. Forget the past. Paul says, forget the things that are behind. Literally, that is the turning around things. The things that you have to look back to see. The looking back things that you have to swivel your head around so that you can see them. And so forgetting the things that are behind means taking our focus off the past and putting it instead on the future. Back when I was a school teacher, English teacher, and I found myself frequently telling my students, especially junior high students, but even senior high students, I found myself frequently telling them to face the front. Did you ever get told that when you were in school? Face the front. I mean, there are some kids that just seem like they really have this need to swivel around in their desk and to look at whatever is going on behind them, okay? The student behind them or some noise behind them or whatever distraction might be behind them. They have to swivel around and they have to look at what is behind them. And so for those students, the teacher is saying, face the front. Why? Why does it matter to the teacher? Why did I want my students to face the front? Well, because, first of all, I'm in the front. Secondly, because their education is in the front, okay? Because what is really important in this class is in the front, okay? Whatever's going back on there and behind you is not that important compared to what is happening in the front of this classroom. And so you need to face the front. You're not going to pass the class unless you face the front. In the same way, you're not going to succeed in the Christian life if you're always turning around to look at what is behind you. You need to face the front. Your future is in the front of you. I remember one occasion I was teaching my son how to drive, and he performed a particular maneuver. I don't remember exactly what it was. I think maybe he was merging or something, and he did something incorrectly. And so I was trying to explain to him what he had just done wrong. And as I was trying to talk to him about that, I realized that the conversation that we were trying to have about what had happened in the past was beginning to affect his ability to drive correctly in the present, okay? And so I had to say to him at a certain point, okay, just forget about it and drive, okay? I need you to drive. Just forget about that and drive. And folks, that's what we need to do in the Christian life. You can't drive forward if you're constantly looking in your rearview mirror. Yes, they do put a mirror on the windshield there for you to look back, but you're not supposed to be looking in it all the time. You can't drive forward that way because why shouldn't you be looking in the rearview mirror all the time? Because fundamentally, what is behind you is really not that important. In fact, the only way that it can be important is if it somehow is going to affect you in the present. And while it may not be easy to forget the past, the truth of the matter is that you must forget the past if you want to win the race, because you won't run well if you're constantly turning your head around to look at what is behind you. That's a good way to trip. Fall flat on your face. Go off course. Fall out of the race. Fall by the wayside. Folks, living in the past is a trap for the believer. A believer cannot live in the past. A believer cannot keep looking at the past. So understanding what Paul said about his relationship, his proper relationship with the past, which is forgetting the things that are behind you. Now I want to suggest for us today four specific things we all need to forget about our past. And I hope that this will be helpful to you this morning. What we need to forget if we want to run well, first of all, we need to forget our past life before we were saved. We need to forget our past life before we were saved, like Paul did, because for Paul, the things that are behind included his past resume of self-righteousness and all of his accomplishments in the flesh before he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road. In the context, those are the things that he is talking about here primarily, but now Paul said he was forgetting all of that. In the same way, we need to forget what we were outside of Christ and before we met Christ, our past pride, our past status, our past self-sufficiency and self-righteousness, those things that we trusted in before we trusted in Christ, remembering, of course, that we are sinners saved by grace. We also need to forget our past life. The old ways, the vices and sinful pastimes of the old man, those places that you used to go, those things that you were proud of as an unbeliever but are ashamed of now. I get uncomfortable sometimes when people are sharing salvation testimonies and they spend too much time talking about in great detail their sinful activities before they were saved, in almost a way that kind of glorifies a life of sin. Folks, we do need to share enough about what our lives were like before we were saved so that Christ can get the glory for a transformed life, but we should not be focusing on the past life. We should not be lifting that up as somehow admirable or spectacular in any way. I mean, the Apostle Paul had been a persecutor of the church. Of course, he did talk about that from time to time, and I'm sure that he was ashamed of it as a believer, but he wasn't focusing on it all the time. He was forgetting about it. and leaving it in his dust and running on for the glory of God. I love what the Apostle Paul said to another group of believers in the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 6. He said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." He's talking about there the lifestyles of unbelievers who are not on their way to heaven. But then he says to them in verse 11, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." What a wonderful testimony of the transformation that God had worked in the lives of these Corinthian believers. Now that Paul could say, that's what you were, but that's not what you are now in Christ. Because the Lord Jesus has made the difference. And believe the same thing for you, that if you are a born-again believer, what you were is not the same thing as what you are. You are now washed. You are now sanctified. You now belong to the Lord. And so we shouldn't be focusing on what we were. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." That means, believer, you're starting over, okay? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Praise God for the new life that He gives us in Christ. The Bible talks about we are saved by His mercy, the washing of regeneration, and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. A new, clean, fresh life in Christ. And therefore, we need to forget our past life before we were saved. We don't focus on that anymore. We don't live there anymore. We run ahead for God. Then secondly, we also need to forget our past failings and defeats as Christians. Our past failings and defeats as Christians. Those times, believer, that you fell off the course before, or you fell flat on your face and you failed God after you were saved. Because the truth is, even believers can fail miserably. In fact, we all do it from time to time. But we need to get back up and press on. As the Scripture says, Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16, "A just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again." He doesn't stay down. He doesn't wallow in the dust. He gets back up by the grace of God and presses forward for the glory of God. You know, there were a lot of godly believers in the Bible who failed God miserably at one point or another in their lives. Abraham lied to Pharaoh about Sarah. Jacob cheated his brother Esau of his father's blessing. Moses struck the rock in the wilderness. Jonah ran from God. David committed adultery and murder. Elijah got discouraged, ran off in the wilderness, and tried to resign as God's prophet. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. John Mark quit on Paul and Barnabas on the first missionary journey and went home. And folks, I could go on and on. There are many more examples of godly believers. The pages of Scripture are full of believers and heroes of faith who failed God. But what they all had in common is they were forgiven and they were restored and they pressed on for God. And that's what we need to do as well. I really need to park here for a minute, I think. Because this failure to let go of the past is one of the greatest hindrances to progress in the race of the Christian life. It's a theme that comes up frequently in counseling that I do with people. Because there is a person out there whose one of his names is the accuser of the brethren. It's Satan, okay? He loves to accuse believers. He will love to accuse us of our past failures. Folks, the fact is, we all have lots of things in our past that we are not proud of. Call them whatever you want to call them. Failings, mistakes, errors, out-and-out sins, misjudgments, okay? Mess-ups, imperfections, departures from the path of God's perfect will. Times when we think that we didn't handle something right, when we didn't display enough wisdom, when we failed to make the right call, when we were things that we were are ashamed of and even disgusted by now, things that make us blush now to think about. Things we could kick ourselves for doing. things that we would go back and change in a heartbeat if we could have the chance. But we can't. We can't go back and change those things. The only thing we can do is to run well in the present. And that's what we're supposed to do. Now, let me explain something here. I need to explain what it does not mean to forget the things that are behind you. Okay, because there could be some wrong thinking about this. So let me make sure you understand what it does not mean. What it does not mean to forget the things that are behind you, first of all, it does not mean to have your memory wiped clean, okay? I mean, that might be nice, but that's not how it works. You will still be able to remember those things if you tried. So it doesn't mean to have your memory wiped clean. Secondly, to forget the things that are behind you in the biblical sense does not mean to not learn anything from your past mistakes. Because one lasting benefit to the failings of the past is to make us better runners in the present. And so we should seek to learn wisdom from those past experiences. In fact, we will learn wisdom if we are accessing the grace of God to run the race. So to forget the past does not mean that you didn't learn anything from your past mistakes. And then third, to forget the things that are behind you does not mean to leave past sins unresolved. That's something that can really hinder the Christian in his race. Hebrews 12 says we're supposed to lay aside the weights and the sins that doth so easily beset us. So we have to lay those things aside. And you can't run well until you have properly confessed and forsaken known sin. So I'm not talking about trying to sweep sin under the rug and just go on and pretend like it never happened and never get it resolved biblically, okay? You have to resolve those things in a biblical way through proper repentance. So that's what it does not mean to forget. But now let me tell you what it does mean to forget the things that are behind you. It means to make a decision, to make a choice, to turn around from your past defeats and to run the race anyway. No, the path behind you is not a model of perfection, perhaps, but you're going to press on for the glory of God. And sure, we'll remember the past, and we know those things happened, but we don't live there anymore, you see, and so we shouldn't be looking there anymore either. We turn away so we can run well now in the present, so that we can press in the present like Paul. And can I just let you in on a little secret here? I don't think there's a single Christian. If I took a survey, if I asked for a show of hands, which I'm not going to do, but I don't think there's a single Christian who's proud of his or her past. Because we're all still growing. We're all still masterpieces under construction. And so when you look back at your past, all you see back there is yourself in a more unfinished condition with more rough edges and weak spots. And the fact that you can see it now means that you have grown past your past. And that's why our Lord tells us to forget the past, because He knows all about it already, and He's already been working in our lives to move us in the right direction. As a matter of fact, that's what the Christian life is really all about. That's the whole point of the race. The whole point of the race is to leave the past behind and to press on to a glorious future. And so we have to forget about our past failings and defeats as Christians. Number three, we need to forget our past difficulties and disappointments. Our past difficulties and disappointments. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." We studied those verses last year about this time when we were going through Hebrews chapter number 12, and we learned from that chapter and from this passage that talks about the chastening chastening of the present, we learn that there are going to be some rough sections on the race course for every runner in the race. As a matter of fact, God puts those places there on purpose. He allows us to be exercised by them on purpose. They may be times of tragedy, times of heartache, times of grief or pain or disappointment, times when we feel like we have been through the ringer. Times when we feel like the hand of God is heavy upon us. Times when we're not even sure where God is or what He is doing. Times when we are going to emerge from a particularly brutal section of the race course and we are going to stand there and we're going to say to ourselves, "What in the world just happened to me back there?" You ever have those kind of times? As a matter of fact, as you emerge from 2020, and head into 2021, you think back to the previous year and the pandemic and all the things that have happened in 2020, it may be that you've got that question in your mind right now. What in the world happened back there? I mean, I haven't figured that out yet. There's lots of things I've wondered about that happened in 2020. But when you're tempted to dwell upon past difficulties and disappointments, believer, don't slow down in your race. Don't turn around. Don't get distracted. Just allow the trial to make you into a faster and more experienced runner and press on. Folks, we can't take the time to try to go back and figure everything out. It's not really our job anyways. God never promised us that we're going to understand everything that He allows into our lives. He's never promised us that He is going to give us an in-depth explanation of every difficult spot on the race course. He has promised us and He has revealed to us His motive. His motive is in love to make us better. And He wants us to trust Him. And so our job isn't to stand around and allow ourselves to just wonder about what happened to us and why did it happen and what did we do wrong. We just need to forget so that we can focus on the prize that is still ahead of us and win the race. Can I just tell you, 2020 is over. And now it's time to run well in 2021. And I don't know what lies ahead in 2021. I remember last year saying in my messages on Hebrews 12, there may be some challenges ahead in 2020. Little did I know. I don't know what's ahead of us in 2021, but I do know one thing that's ahead of us, and that's the prize. I know our future is ahead of us. So we need to run well in 2021. As Hebrews says here, and you've been through that difficult time on a race course, you've just been through a heavy time of chastening, seems like God's been taking you through that difficult section of the track. You need to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, apply any needed first aid, okay? Really, the way it says here, choose to let God heal us, okay? Allow yourself to be healed by the Lord and by His comfort and get back into the race. Make that choice that you are not going to be taken out, that you're not going to fall out by the wayside, that you're not going to limp down the rest of the race course, but that you are going to run with patience. You are going to press in the present, just like the Apostle Paul. We have to forget about our past difficulties and disappointments. And then one more thing. We need to forget our past accomplishments and blessings. We need to forget our past accomplishments and blessings. Now, maybe right now you're scratching your head a little bit and you're thinking to yourself, really? I mean, wouldn't it be good to remember those things? That statement could be misunderstood, so let me just explain what I don't mean when I say to forget our past accomplishments and blessings. I don't mean that we should ignore whatever God has done for us in the past, because those blessings will encourage us and they will make us into stronger, more faith-filled runners in the present. We should never fail to praise and thank God for victories won, prayers that were answered, lessons learned on the road behind us. But we shouldn't live there either. Rather, our past victories should propel us forward to greater victories in the present. I'm saying our blessings in Christ should always be fresh. Look at what the psalmist said in Psalm 44. The psalmist said, "We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days and the times of old, how thou didst drive out the heathen with thine hand and plantest them, how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them. But thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them." What is the psalmist doing up to this point? He is recounting the blessings of the past. He is telling about what God had done for his people in the past and rejoicing in those past blessings. But then look at what he says in verse 4. He says, "Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us." So what happened there is that the psalmist was remembering God's work and power and blessings for his people in the past, but that remembrance of past blessings led him to focus his faith on fresh blessings in the present. He said, "Oh God, you weren't just the God of those people back there. You are my God, and I am trusting you to command deliverances for me just as you did for them." So let me ask you a very important question, believer. Are your blessings fresh? Has God done anything big in your life recently? Are you growing in the here and now? Or are you stagnating or standing still? If you were asked to share a testimony of something that God has done in your life, you know, you really shouldn't have to go back 6 months or a year or 5 to 10 years to think of something that you could share. There should be plenty to tell about in the here and now. And if not, that's a pretty sure sign that something's wrong with the way that you're running your race in the present. Now, maybe you've allowed yourself to coast on past accomplishments. Maybe you've allowed yourself to backslide into sin or apathy or unbelief. But whatever the cause, believer, I want to encourage you today, stir yourself up again and press on to higher ground and greater blessings. Seize more of Christ today than you ever had before. That's how Paul lived his life. He was apprehending that for which he had been apprehended by Jesus Christ. He was always pressing and seizing more of Christ. That is what the Christian life is all about. Winning Christ. Now, this morning, we took the time to just talk about the past because I think that that's important. You know, we can't be good runners in the present until we've dealt properly with the past. So the first thing we need to think about is we're supposed to be forgetting the things that are behind us. The first activity that must accompany our race for Christ in the present is forgetting those past things. And then next Sunday, we're going to talk about the present and the future. But I just have one question I want you to think about here today before I close this message. Are you forgetting past things like you should be? Are you forgetting past things like you should be? Your past life before Christ, your past failings and defeats as a Christian, your past difficulties and disappointments on the race course, even your past blessings and accomplishments in favor of fresh. The bottom line is that the past is in the past. It really doesn't matter very much right now. 2020 doesn't really matter very much right now. It's old news. It's in the past. What matters most is what's going on in the present. So, Christian, today, will you turn around and face the front? Will you stop looking in the rearview mirror so you can drive? Right now, 2021 is the right time to forget the past so that we can press in the present. to win the future prize. In a moment, we're going to sing as our closing song today, Win the Prize. That song, theme song from last year from Hebrews 12. I think that would be a right way to finish this message so that we can have our focus on the future. But first, would you bow your heads with me, please? Would you take some time right now to allow God to speak to your heart? And maybe He's already spoken to your heart today from the truths of God's Word. Folks, this is such a practical passage of Scripture. This is something that we all need. Oh, we need God's grace to relate properly to the past. Would you let God today show you what part of the past He wants you to turn away from so that you can focus on the future?